we keep things rolling here on the Sports Cubicle. I'm your host, Mike Mercado. I am joined by the one, the only, the great Paul Shavari. And Paulie, this news story, it's been a news-heavy edition of the Sports Cubicle, and this is coming down the newswire. This is from the United States Attorney's Office, Central District of California. Japanese language translator charged in complaint with illegally transferring more than $16 million from baseball players' accounts. A Japanese language translator was charged today via federal criminal complaints with unlawfully transferring more than $16 million from Major League Baseball players' bank account without the player's knowledge or permission to pay off his own substantial gambling debts occurred with an illegal bookmaking operation. Ipe Mizuhara, 39, of Newport Beach, as of this article, is charged with bank fraud, a felony offense that carries a statutory maximum sentence of 30 years in federal prison. Mizuhara is expected to appear in the United States District in downtown Los Angeles for his initial appearance in the near future. According to an affidavit with the complaint from November 2021 to January 2024, Mizuhara wired more than $16 million in unauthorized transfers from a checking account belonging to an MLB player identified in the affidavit as Victim A. We know him as the unicorn Shohei Ohtani, who in fact is MLB star Shohei Ohtani. The transfers from the bank account allegedly were made from the devices and IP addresses associated with Mizuhara, who served as Ohtani's translator and de facto manager. And it also, the entire affidavit, the press release also mentions that in 2008, that Mizuhara took Shohei Ohtani to open up all his bank accounts in Arizona in 2018, and he was part of that entire process. So that is what we know now. And then there's even leaked text messages of Mizuhara saying that he's bad at this gambling thing. And I'll get the exact quotes in a little bit as we keep going on in this conversation, so I don't just pull it out of thin air. But this is getting messy. This is a sad story, Paulie. And for right now, as of this instance, taking Shohei out of this, because MLB is still going to do their investigation. That's not what the federal government's looking into. They're looking at illegal book operations, illegal gambling. But they're also talking about bank fraud and wire transfer illegally doing all this. So this is a big deal. So, Paul, first thing I want to get your thoughts on, when you heard the official affidavit, what's going to be charged, what's happening, what were your initial thoughts now that we have a little bit more clarity of what the federal government's looking at?
I think I was thinking what everyone else is thinking is, how could Shohei not know about this? And I know that part of this investigation is showing that there were no text messages about gambling between Shohei and Ipe. And I don't know. I mean, you know, we're not part of the investigation, so who am I to say that, you know, this smells funny, or I don't think that's the truth, or it's an ongoing investigation, and Shohei's not on trial, so I don't know how thorough of an investigation to his doings there's going to be. But we do know that his interpreter is definitely guilty of, you know, we have evidence that he was communicating with illegal bookies. We have evidence that he placed bets. We have evidence that he's, what was it, $40 million in debt or something ridiculous like that. We have evidence that he transferred $16 million out of Shohei's bank account. So I guess we need a thorough understanding of how limited Shohei's involvement was. I think that's ideally the how this affects you, me, baseball fans, sports fans, all around the world, is just please let us know that you've looked up and down, turned over every rock, and you found out that Shohei didn't know about any of this happening. The hard thing is that this is his friend, and you would feel that there'd be kind of a close confidence, you know. I guess, you know, the how was he able to open these bank accounts with Shohei? Okay, he's his interpreter. How was he able to extract the money? And that's where I don't know, where did he have access to passwords? Did he have, you know, what involvement did the interpreter have, you know, that Shohei Ohtani gave him, where maybe this guy could go behind Shohei's back and do this sort of stuff? So I think there's a lot of questions that need to be answered. I can understand the skepticism behind, you know, clearing Shohei's name. But it sounds like the feds don't have any case against Shohei Ohtani, but They do have a huge case against his interpreter.
So it is a 37-page complaint. That is how in detail, that is how much information is in this entire, and this now this information is coming from the Ringer, and this also from the Ringer, that 19,000 bets were made in this time period. And I think that's important to bring up because beyond just a friendship now broken, because you have to be taken, he's taking advantage of Shohei. Let's say this is all on board and everything is what it seems to be as of this day, right? That means somebody took advantage of a friend. Somebody took advantage of somebody who's so dedicated in their craft. They take what they believe and they do so personally and they're so invested in it that they entrusted you and the way to help them maintain their life, to get them set up in a new country, took advantage of that. But if you're doing that, it's one thing if your friend loses $20 every once in a while and, you know, ask you to borrow to buy him lunch that day. But when you're talking about millions of dollars and you having to do what he had to do in order to change phone numbers and where money is transferred to and having access, you know how hard it is to change your Amazon password, let alone bank account information? That's how much input he had in this. That goes to show his addiction level. Musahara is, it's bad. Like, it's sad. It's sad a friendship was lost, but in a world where we are so gambling focused now, fantasy sports, March Madness brackets, any single time and over and under a prop bet, the NFL season, we have organizations, leagues, broadcast partners that are sponsored by big time gambling websites. And somebody now with an addiction could put a huge, potentially could have put a huge black eye in an entire sport. And I think that's something that we talk about, but we really can't comprehend this new melding world, universes of gambling, legal gambling, sports gambling, and entrusting individuals, not just players, not just coaches, not just front office, but auxiliary people surrounding the team and organizations. I think that's something that maybe the big time owners, corporations may have seen coming, but I don't know if fandom, the everyday fan, knew this was going to be the outcome of that.
Well, this is a little different since it's illegal gambling. Mm. You know, what if it was a legal website? I suppose it would be quicker to see how much money is being transferred through. And I suppose the red flags that would exist when you see Shohei Ohtani's bank account and routing information being sent to DraftKings or, you know, whatever, you know, betting site du jour. But I don't know. I think it definitely peels back a layer that shows that there still is this seedy underworld of illegal gambling. Not that I didn't think it didn't exist anymore, but the fact that it's just so closely connected to professional sports. And honestly, I think it's never, there's always going to be, regardless of how cut and dry the information is, and that, you know, we know the players at stake, we know who's, you know, going to prison, who committed crimes, who didn't. It's always going to be a stain on Shohei Ohtani and the game of baseball. And of course, you know, I think we talked about this in the last time that we talked about this, that this is the most MLB thing to happen, like right on opening day. Their superstar gets involved in gambling. And it's like, you know, it doesn't matter what generation, what era, you know, like, you know, our grandparents that rooted for Pete Rose, their grandparents that rooted for Shoeless Joe, you know, who's going to be our grandkids that, you know, say it ain't so, Shohei, you know, in you know, 20, 30 years.
And you know, it's coming because like you said, it's Major League Baseball that is ingrained in the sport. And I am so glad you brought up Pete Rose, as we are breaking down this news of Shohei Ohtani's interpreter. Now the charges are coming in. We know what he is facing. We are breaking it down here on the Sports Cubicle. He's Paul Shivari. I'm Mike Mercado. I want to bring up Pete Rose. I think this is something, again, fandom. I think it's a societal thing, right? Where we like to compare things and we like to weigh them in the same weight of justice and try to make everything just clear and cut the same. And you hear people now defending Pete Rose, saying because of all these networks working together with these betting sites and this story potentially with Shohei Ohtani, that Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. He should be forgiven, so on and so forth. I think if your argument is because of gambling now being legal and part of the sports world, or because of what's going on with Shohei, I think you're wrong. I think if you're saying Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame because it's a museum and you should tell the entire story, I think you're right. Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. You can bring him into the Hall of Fame. But to tell me that it's okay now to forgive him because of DraftKings, FanDuel, Bet Rivers, Circus Sports, and this Shohei Ohtani is disingenuous. It's a strongman conversation because it is not based on reality. He did his crime. He did break the rules you're not supposed to do. He bet on baseball, period. He did. Not an interpreter, not a third person, not some shady guy on the side. He did. Pete Rose. So if you want to say Pete Rose deserves to be in the museum that is known as the Baseball Hall of Fame, God bless you. I agree. This isn't the argument to use for that case.
Well, and it's a flawed argument anyway, because we can't prove that Shohei Ohtani or his interpreter even bet on baseball.
Bingo.
We do know for a fact that Pete Rose bet on baseball, and we do know for a fact that he bet on games that the Cincinnati Reds played in while he was managing the team. And regardless of the fact that he didn't bet against the Reds, presumably, but even if he didn't, that's still a conflict of interest. That's the whole point of this thing. You know, he can tax his bullpen just to win a meaningless game in May, you know, versus, well, that might have helped us down the stretch for a pennant run instead of blowing the guy's arm out early. But that's neither here nor there. And, you know, and as far as Pete Rose, you know my feelings on it. You know, the guy didn't even start telling the truth until he conveniently needed to sell a book. So, you know, does he deserve to be a Hall of Famer? Does he deserve, while he's above the ground, to call himself a Hall of Famer? I don't care what happens to him posthumously. If you want to add him to the Hall of Fame after he's long gone and let his kids or his grandkids benefit off of that, that's fine by me. But Pete Rose cannot, absolutely under no circumstances, be a Hall of Famer or be eligible to be involved with Major League Baseball, especially in a day and age where gambling is legal. You know, the guy had no contrition. You know, he moved to Las Vegas. He's, you know, allegedly involving himself in bets after his baseball career anyway, as he's allowed to as a free citizen that's ineligible for baseball. But you would have to, in order for the Pete Rose argument to be valid, you need to prove that there are current baseball players betting on the sport and being protected. And you can't prove that with Shohei right now. It's the court of public opinion. And you know what? I found, in my opinion, a lot of Pete Rose defenders are dumb. They're very dumb people. So having this sort of argument with them is already going to be a loss for both parties at the first clause of the argument.
God bless you, Pauly. So I'm with you. Like, I am one that believes all Hall of Fames are museums. And personally, I have a lot of beef with the Baseball Writers of America. I do. I do think there's a huge pretentiousness in that group of people, more than almost any other voters of Hall of Famers, that they seem to be the ones that are the ultimate gatekeepers. Different conversation you and I can have All-Star Weekend, but this is what I mean, though. Your argument for not allowing Pete Rose into the Hall of Fame is a genuine one. And then there are people who have genuine arguments of why he should be. I can listen to both, respect both, understand both. I am not accepting one after today based on what's happening right now, or because you can draft, you can do anything you want on DraftKings or FanDuel. And I will say this to the league. You make enough money. We have TV deals coming up. Your players should be allowed. LeBron should be able to bet on the Dallas Cowboys versus the Cleveland Browns. You have enough money to create your own separate apps, different servers that these players can safely and monitor what they are doing. If they're going to gamble on their own sports, they're not going to do it above board anyway. So that's not what you should worry should be. Your worry should be, hey, if we're going to facilitate this to our fans, we should do it safely for our players, and we'll make a way to make it profitable for us, like you always have to make these things happen, but to also avoid black guys. There's only one black guy the NFL has beyond gambling, and it's that somebody dying on the field. Even then, people will still come and watch that sport. You start going to the integrity of these games, that is the death of a sport. And right now, you could get ahead of it. And this is a great time for it. So this is why I wanted to really bring this conversation, because it's about gambling addiction. It's about friendship. It's about baseball. It's about culture. It's about the future of these industries, the industry you and I are in, and Devin in media. So I thought this was a great point for us to really break down this entire situation beyond just, did you hear what happened to Shohei?
Yeah, and I don't know, to follow up your point about LeBron should be allowed to bet. I mean, you picked basketball or football, and that's a safe bet for a basketball player. But let's keep in mind the conflict of interest. If bet on, let's say, baseball, LeBron James. He's part owner of a baseball team. So, I mean, you know, that's rough, you know, that's a rough thing. That's unique to one individual there. Not everybody in the league owns other professional sports franchises, but it's got to be up to each individual union. I don't like the fact, you know, why are these guys being paid absurd amounts of money if they absolutely need to gamble in their free time? What's the incentive for them to gamble? If it's to make more money, if it's to make the game more fun, why are they even an athlete to begin with? You know, if they need more money, why are they making so much money? So I don't necessarily agree with, even with legal gambling, that a professional athlete should be able to vote or bet on other sports. It's a weird gray area for me, and I don't really see a pathway to that being ethical. But it's a great conversation, and clearly we rushed through this thing so quickly, legalizing gambling in the United States, that we didn't consider some of these things. I mean, we were still living in the era where we thought it was a little absurd that some of these guys had fantasy teams for no money or for money amongst themselves, where it's like, you know, football players are talking to other football players about their fantasy team, or a known instance where a pitcher and a catcher having a mound visit regarding a fantasy football team. So it's a weird gray area. The Shohei thing, I think it is opening up a scab that never fully healed. And I hope that it kind of opens up the discussions to prevent this from happening, even on a legal standard.
We've seen it just recently in the NBA, right? With Michael Porter's brother in Toronto, the unders all hit, and DraftKings said it was the most betted thing on that game. And there's a whole, and we'll talk about that as the season comes to an end and that investigation continues to go forward. And I think for me, and I'll just leave it at this for the athletes themselves, right? Because there's always this conspiracy theory that's been going on forever, right? That every game is rigged. The NFL is scripted. This is not just a new Q2024 Zoomer thing in the internet. Like, there's always been rumors about all sports always being fixed. They've been saying that the NBA has been fixed since Patrick Ewing somehow ended with the Knicks. Like, we know.
Well, you know what? Conspiracy theories. Donaghy, the referee that was known to be. And we know about point shaving scandals. Here's the problem. Like, games can be fixed, but I don't think it's as conspiratorial as the entire team.
Yes.
They were missing shots. You know, it's usually like a couple of bad eggs or an off night or whatever. Or, you know, or they know, hey man, if we score 101 tonight, that hits the over. All right, we'll keep it at 99, you know?
Yeah. Somebody's incentives. They do it for themselves for contracts. Like, hey, he needs X amount of rebounds today. So whatever you do, make sure you stay away from him when the like, this is all part of it. But this is where I wanted to kind of bring it in finally, is the athlete themselves. Most of these athletes, men or women, no matter the professional sport, heck, even the collegiate and high school, are so competitive that it's hard for them to allow themselves to just dive a game, especially when there's so much money in these contracts. That's why we do have to look into, like you mentioned, just rushing into this, the addiction part of this, the thrill, the rush, what makes somebody who has a bajillion dollars want to bet $500,000 on Canelo? These are questions that we all have to talk about now, because it's part of our reality. And one day the Sports Cubicle may be brought to you by FanDuel, DraftKings, PointsBet, all these different places. So we have So I think that's to me, that's the big part of this, right? It's just to have an open conversation about sports gambling and it just being beyond Shohei Ohtani and the TMZ-ness of this. I think it's a fun conversation. I'm glad I was able to have it to you, Polly. But more importantly, we want to know what you think. The people listening to the Sports Cubicle, let us know on Twitter at Sports Cubicle TV, wherever you get your favorite podcast, at Sports from the Couch, the Sports Cubicle. And of course, leave a comment, subscribe to us on YouTube at the Sports Cubicle, and check us out on SoundCloud at WCPT 820. For the great Paul Shavari, I'm Mike Mercado.